Live from Los Angeles, this is the Bachelor Masters. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Greg. Hey, Zia.
Hey, Zia.
Hi, guys.
For our dear listeners that might have noticed over the last few weeks that EZR's microphone is what we call in the industry hot. It was kind of fuzzing out. I think we have it fixed, or I should say, EZR, you have it fixed.
Yeah, I thought that meant I'd said a bunch of racial slurs, and then, you know, they picked... I thought that's what that meant. You know, oh, what? Your microphone's coming in hot, which means you didn't know you were mic'd up, and you were. And you
turned into a hot mic. Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe this is like an old school lingo versus new school lingo thing. I don't know. well, whatever it is that you were or are or is, you are now are and is better.
True.
Yes.
So we're all even. Aside from maybe an accidental episode in the past, this might be the first time the three of us are on equal microphone, no fuzz standing.
The first, but not the last time.
Who knows who makes these stats? They do. But they say that the number one reason that people leave podcasts, like why they stop listening to them, is because of audio quality. Chris, you've always been perfect.
I feel like it's just like I forced you guys to move around me, so I feel guilty. Because I think I probably have the defective equipment, but you guys have all downgraded.
Right. Yeah, actually, that's not far from the truth.
That's right. I started off with like a professional mic.
Yeah. And... we're down to these crappy mics to
laziness on my part, but Craig, you're right. Back in film school, the one thing they always taught us was your video can look terrible, but your audio has to sound good, because that's what people judge as being professional. So you can have really terrible video, great sound, you've got a professional movie.
We're up to 240 followers on Twitter.
Not bad.
Our Facebook is holding steady at zero followers.
No, it has people. Okay. It's not a lot.
Easier. I missed, there was no Instagram.
Yes, I know. I missed it last night. I've had a really early, you know, just packed week. But I got this great idea, and I will come back at everybody with about five, I promise, at least five memes in the next couple days, because I have a great idea, but I'm not going to share it yet because it's fun.
We were back channeling some ideas for Instagram memes to make around Tom Brady winning the Super Bowl, but we didn't quite pull the trigger.
Preschool is rough. I have to learn a lot. Not for me, for my kid, but still, preschool is rough for a parent.
Right. Thank you for clarifying.
I have a lot of involvement.
Yes. It's like Billy Madison, where he has to go through all the grades again, kindergarten, first grade or something.
So,
all right,
never been kissed, Heather.
Billy Madison over there. Okay,
nope.
Happy Gilmore,
Craig. Adam, you're like, I put out gold, and all I get is crickets from these fools.
For us Gen Y, there was Friends TV show, and there was Wayne's World. That was our version of
I
the
love
Breakfast
Wayne's
Club.
World.
And then it was Adam Sandler, because he came into Saturday Night Live. They didn't know what to do with him. He was totally different than any comedian had ever been on Saturday Night Live. And it wasn't a type of comedy that anyone understood, except for us young folks.
It was lowbrow.
We loved it. Well, it was singing. It wasn't lowbrow. It was singing impressions that were not of anything in particular.
I really find it obnoxious, but I don't know. A lot of people my age love him. I think it's a guy thing more than it is a age thing.
His run ran out.
his luck thing,
With a wedding singer. That's kind of when he, after that, he started making all these
making weird Netflix movies.
He should be the next Bachelor.
Oh my goodness. You can't drop a great idea like that, Craig, and then quickly move on. We'll circle back to that later.
Happily married. Yeah.
Is he?
Still.
It's Hollywood. Is anyone happily married? Hey, if Ben Affleck and Jennifer Gardner can't last, then who can?
I thought you said Ben Stiller, and I was just making sure.
Well, he can't last. Okay. They broke up, Ben Stiller.
He's an alcoholic.
Ben Stiller?
Ben Affleck.
I thought you were talking about Ben Stiller now.
No, Ben Affleck is an alcoholic, and has a lot of issues. He has a lot of, he likes, you know,
Boston. I was being ironic.
Oh, okay.
Oh my gosh. I'm just striking out left and right here. I go from top to bottom. I go from a great idea. Like, Adam Sandler should be the next Bachelor to you. My irony getting lost on my co-hosts here. All right, that's enough. We have nothing else to report. There was a Super Bowl. There was a State of the Union. But most importantly, the woman who never has been kissed got kissed. Underneath fireworks, along the water. Very romantic.
Had Heather ever been kissed?
So one of our fans, Jenna, brought up a very good point that Heather kept saying, never kissed anyone, been kissed.
Yeah, she could have been kissed, but never kissed. Quit kissing, quotes.
And then she dated someone for 8 months. And
I know. What was that? A lot of
Instagram is calling her out, saying that she's a liar, basically. Yeah,
what's up with
She's probably been kissed. She's probably done something.
Yeah, I think I eventually would come to that same place where it's like everyone has to have their thing, but she's been kissed or done some kissing or something. That's not what anyone's first kiss looks like.
Right. Yeah. And she had the body language the entire date of somebody who knew how to be coupled up with somebody else.
Yeah.
Like, she knew how to stand up straight, put her arm around him, have his arm around her, do the whole thing where a girl goes up to a guy and then lifts the one leg up behind her. I mean, she was doing all the social cues.
The moves. I think the weird part about this is that does anybody want someone who's never been kissed at that age? And do men or do women want someone who's a virgin at that age? I think that's kind of what they're treading around. Like, oh, look, they're kind of like fresh, obviously virgins. I mean, you're guessing virgins.
I feel like we talked about this before. Do guys want virgins? The answer is no.
Well, I guess at the end of their date, they were kind of doing this middle school-y standoff where trying to see who's going to kiss who. And I thought that was very awkward and gave me traumatic flashbacks to middle school. So seeing that.
If any of my ex-girlfriends are listening to this podcast, they probably know. I like to get the kiss out of the way early, the first kiss. You know pretty quickly whether or not you like each other. It gets rid of all that hasn't had a kiss yet tension. I think there's a Woody Allen movie about that, but I can't think of the name of the movie.
Yeah, I could see that working. I guess if you get to a point where you're reading that you both might be interested, I think that's probably a better idea to, if you're not too physically aggressive, to test it out early and then see, okay, are we feeling the same way?
Yeah. Well, the body language presents itself. Like I was saying, Heather went up to Colton right along the waterfront there with the boat, and she had her leg up behind her. She was holding
her
tight. She was gazing into his eyes. I mean, obviously, you wouldn't try to get a first kiss if those weren't the cues you were getting. But if they are, go ahead and kiss, because it just makes the rest of the day.
I bet in life there are more kisses missed because people delay timing than because they act too soon. So that's why I would go along with your life philosophy there.
Great insight, Chris.
Isn't that awkward talking that they do right before a kiss? Colton does it all the time with not just this girl, but with many girls.
Well, that's
like he'll say something very awkward.
It would get rid of that if he had gotten the kiss out of the way when they started the date.
No, because it's going to happen before any kiss, no matter what time it happens, even if it's the first thing.
Right. At least from what we've seen on the show, he definitely delays the kiss.
He's scared. Well, he seems kind of scared and he'll say something very like, kind of a line, but it gets cut off because of a kiss. Right. So it's kind of very awkward to watch.
Well, at least it's not like Ari's season where it was you say something, I say something, we make out.
Right. Yeah, he have that pattern. Smoother. Right.
Yeah.
a lot smoother, right. There was a point last night when someone said something not good. If I was like, if this was Ari, he would be like, okay, make out.
Yeah. He ends awkwardness with getting his tongue out.
And how does Colton, what did Colton do? Wait, who are you talking about?
I don't know.
I know you're talking about Colton.
Oh. I can't think of it. But Colton seems more hesitant, for better or for worse.
Does this whole season kind of feel gross to either one of you, but especially Craig, since you're a lot more intuitive about, or I don't want
to. I'm intuitive about grossness?
That's not what I'm saying. I notice gross things, but I try not to. I think Chris has his, always looks at the best side of things, but you like to hone in on kind of gross things that happen.
Okay, Fair enough.
And it's part of your fashion. It's part of the fashion thing.
Play the drop. But
does this... I didn't want to.
No, go.
This is the fashion roundup.
Craig likes to talk about the people in the way.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, they show a close-up of his mouth eating. A lot of the girls have acne. I know I saw a clip where I guess Kirpa was
the big chin scandal of 2019. Yeah,
she slipped on a rock. For anyone at home who didn't know, she slipped on a rock.
Right. But yeah, I guess it was pretty bad.
Yeah, she broke.
I had the exact same thing happen to me. Remember when I broke up my chin and you thought I got beat up? Same thing.
You told different people different things.
Well, I tend to do that. I like to keep an air of mystery. Look, a couple Bachelor Masters announcements. Yeah, you heard it here last. The first is that, of course, she slipped on a rock and hurt her chin. That's why she was wearing the Band-Aid on her chin. I'm glad the show didn't make a big deal out of it because it's really not a big deal. It's like I wouldn't want someone focusing on that. But to not say anything was kind of strange. But I guess we live in a world where they know we're going to find out what happened anyway, which is an interesting way of looking at television. The second piece of news, you heard it here last, a producer for The Bachelor said that there's not going to be a two-on-one date this season. They chose not to do
what?
They're getting rid of them. That used to be what you looked forward to.
The Bachelor Party podcast, the one from The Ringer.
I believe.
She had a producer on. He said that they do it a lot, but sometimes they don't. They just kind of make an on-the-fly decision during filming whether or not they think the two people are really going to have sparks fly. If it ends in somebody being left on an island, it's obviously great, but anything else is just not going to be entertaining. That's kind of what he said.
I mean, that makes sense. Even the being left on an island gets really uncomfortable, and the other person, you can see them in the background of the interviews.
Right.
The person who gets left behind, who is not left behind yet.
You need two people who are game to do the two-on-one, and the only two people that would have potentially been game have gone another route. So I think even if they're not organically fighting, they need to be presented as they're having a big fight.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so about it being gross, is Colton gross? Are the women he's making out with gross? Is that the question?
No, that's not exactly the question.
We're filing this under a fashion roundup.
There was just gross things. Because ECR, actually, one thing you had said that I did notice and I didn't like, but I think it was more of a creative decision, was the close-ups of them eating. Because they were trying to build up the kiss so much, but it was disgusting the way that they were playing with her body language and their mouths as they were eating this, like, oral fixation on camera. I did not like that. But that wasn't the people. I think that was, like, the producers or the editors.
Right. Right, but then they go to the jungle and get really gross and sweaty, and it's not, the whole episode, and maybe even the whole season, has this middle school feel of nothing's right on. Everything is, like, awkward, you know, awkward ages. Some of you guys are taller, some of you are off, and everything feels off in that way.
Yeah.
Maybe that's my
gross pathway. It was also, like, pouring rain
pathway
in the jungle. And I loved Demi going to the bar during the jungle scene. That was cool.
Whatever.
That was cute. I definitely approve of that.
Beautiful. And I'm sure they are, but they just caught them at a bad season in bad weather. That's how it.
Well, ECR, maybe your middle school thesis explains why Elise decided to leave. Elise, the older woman.
Yes.
She said, "I'm over these babies. I'm out."
I think it's the opposite, Chris. I think she ripped a page out of my middle school playbook.
Which is what?
I will tell you exactly what it is. At this age, whatever age she is, which she's 30, right? So I guess it's not really that old. But at this age, she should be way past this. I got over this at high school. Here's my take on what happened. She wants to feel, she went in there to, you know, tell Colton, if we were to believe just face value what happened, she went in there to tell Colton she's leaving, right? Is that how you guys would interpret that, like in one sentence or two?
Yeah, okay. She knew she was going to leave before she went and talked to Colton.
I 100% don't think that's true. Oh. I think she went in there to feel extra validated, to complain to him, And to get what she really wants, which is him to just kind of, you know, break the bachelor wall and say, you're right, we should be together. And she likes a big, messy breakup crying thing. And I for one, know this cycle so well. Any ex-boyfriends out there from middle school and high school, I am so sorry. I am really sorry for having been that way. But oh, I was that girl. Hear. Yeah.
You wanted a dramatic breakup.
But I'm sure they deserved it.
You're right. Yeah. So also not sorry.
So, right. So I don't really care. Because that's part of being a kid, kind of. So if I can put myself back there. She wants to ruin his night. She wants to be this person that he lost. But the way people actually are is that he is just going to take it as a lesson and she's going to regret it. So he took it as a way to reflect on himself and like what the real thing is. But she wanted this huge crying breakup where he tells her not to leave.
Well, then, so she did go into it knowing she was going to break it off.
No, I think she got pushed there by him not reacting and not crying with her. And
well,
not
she's leaning that way. We can say that. Probably,
sure. Well, okay. She's leaning that way only in her words, but not really. My biggest issue with this whole thing is that she should be old enough to know better by now. I knew better. And what turned me around was like, you know, someone not buying into it after a while.
Buying into what?
Do you mean she should know better than to play the game and look for the validation?
Yes. Yes. Right. Yes, okay. Absolutely. Demi wins in maturity only in this one way. I think that no matter what, Demi's going to have a good time, even if she knows she's not gonna quote unquote win or make it to the last couple of ones. Someone like Demi, and I'm using her as an example, she's gonna make the most out of being in Thailand. And that's what this Elise should do, right? She should be just forget about Colton if it's not gonna work out and just have a good time with a bunch of girls instead of leaving. Some of the best advice I ever got from myself when I used to do this. Or when I used to be like that, was to just don't say anything then. Go home, sleep on it. And if you really feel that way, then you'll say it in the morning. Mm-hmm. Because the nighttime messy breakup thing can be so fun and satisfying. And I mean like in the worst way, because I'm someone who like relishes in this dramatic, or I used to relish in this big dramatic sadness thing. But that's for teenagers.
Maybe an alternate possible theory, and ECR, this is me playing devil's advocate more than disagreeing with you, because I think you're pretty persuasive, but we did have people note this week that they're pretty far in. This is the halfway point, and the group has winnowed down. It's not maybe hometowns or that far in, but you've gone from a big group to the smaller group. And I think the gravity of people who didn't expect to have gotten this far, having gotten this far, is sinking in. Someone had made a comment to that effect where it's like, did you ever expect that you would have made it this far and be in Thailand with The Bachelor? And so I could see a scenario where Elise, you know, you don't expect that you're going to make it this far in the show. You might have had this intense one-on-one with Colton. And then you really are like, whoa, I could actually end up having to be engaged to this guy in a very public way. I would rather break that off right now and have there be zero possibility, because I didn't really seriously entertain that possibility before, but it could happen. Don't you think that that's possible, that she really is wanting to get out of it because she's like, well, I'm in too deep. I don't want to do this.
To kind of go back to our union talk, I think any viable union should prepare. And I think the producers do, and anyways, watching the show does prepare you to have a lot of feelings on love reality TV shows, or like romantic reality TV shows. You know, that would be true if she didn't do exactly, if I couldn't predict the next thing she was going to say. Once I knew she was doing my old move, then I was like, this is going to happen next. This is going to happen next. This is going to happen next. And then she said the exact same thing I used to say, like on camera. She says, I'm so stupid. Why did I do that? I'm regretting that already. And she left with having thrown a bomb in the background, right? I mean, however the Onyeka Nicole thing happened, that is just leaving and creating this huge mess behind you. I mean, yeah, she's 15-year-old me. So
interesting.
Yeah. Chris, I can totally see her freaking out and using it as an excuse. And if she somehow did that, then I give her a lot more credit. But I think she's unhinged.
Because she threw a bomb in the most short-term way possible. You know, this will have no lasting implication. There's no chance that she gets on Bachelor in Paris. It's sort of like her Bachelor career begins and ends with this. And 2 weeks from now, we won't remember that Elise did this. So that's sort of where I think it's not the smartest move if you're trying to create this big drama. And like, yeah, drama this week and instantly gone.
But it's an egotistical point of view that I had and that I'm guessing she has. It's because it's all about you. It's all about how you're going to affect that person's life and how you're going to make them cry. And they're going to like love you forever and you're just gonna walk out and it's a lot more romantic in theory than when it actually comes out, because she wanted him to cry and he didn't, you know. He was like, are you sure? And she kind of floundered. She's like, dang, no, but now I'm already halfway here, I better just take it all the way. I don't know,
she kind of segues in some ways back to the gross thing. I feel like if you really want to know if you're physically attracted to somebody, see what they look like when they're sweating. Does that seem like a fair thing? In this case, they're in the hot jungle.
That's why Colton loves Cassie for that very reason.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
He's super attracted to her and he gets to see her in all sorts of different ways.
Yeah, because they're in the water. Yeah. And so, for instance, Demi, she looks great when she's got beads of perspiration coming through her waterproof makeup. So that's great for her. Some of them don't look quite as good. To me, that's kind of where I was looking over the last couple episodes when they've been in Singapore and Thailand and they're really hot or being rained on, one or the other, is what they look like when they're drenched.
The way Colton sweats, I can tell already it's not my type.
Okay,
so that's not true for women also. I mean, I don't think it's how true it is, period. I've never heard that before.
Not true?
Did you just say that it's not Matt Booth?
I think you said it was not.
Yeah, because I can tell I like a guy or I don't like a guy by the way he sweats. I think some guys sweat gross and they can't do anything about it. I don't think girls can do much about it either, but they can cover it up better.
So there you go. So we're all in agreement.
But I don't know if that's true for girls. Girls can do a lot better job at covering it up.
Well, not when you're in Singapore or Thailand in the summer. Demi was drenched that one night, and she, I thought, looked really good still. And some of them were drenched and didn't look good at all. So anyway, I'm just saying, to me, that brings the gross meter into whether or not you like the person. It's a very tangible way of thinking about grossness.
And you can smell them.
Yeah,
there's probably something to that. Oh, yeah, don't scientists or some group of people say that there's some biological response to sweat that has to do with your attraction? Like in
pheromones and stuff?
Yeah, exactly. That's so they'll have people.
That's what
I think pheromones drive most things.
People are interested in each other.
People like who do blind date someone's hat. Mixers.
Yeah,
that you swap shirts and then people smell shirts and then rate which one they thought smelled the best. And then you have a date with that person.
Way back in the day, I went to this party, this rave party, and took a lot of controlled substances. And I woke up without my belt. I woke up in a chair in the middle of the dance floor at like noon the next day. And I didn't have my belt. And I asked around, and apparently at some point I was standing in a big group of people. And I yelled out, everyone take off your belt and pass it to the right and then put on the other person's belt, which apparently everyone really liked. That was a fun game, but somehow it went around and I didn't get a belt.
It's always the architect who ends up beltless, Craig.
Yes.
Are you saying this in response to the smell?
Yeah, you just smell the belt, and then you're really getting down to the...
Yes. Belt don't okay. hold on to scents.
The other thing I was going to say in regards to grossness. Now, Chris, I think you can get my back here. Not because you're gross, but... Have you ever had your picture taken by a camera with a very, very fast shutter? If you get a picture of somebody with a very, very, very quick shutter, they don't look like themselves because it goes so fast that it's taking a photograph of all the minute muscle movements in your face. Whereas opposed to when you look at somebody or you're at a normal shutter speed, you get a little bit of a blending, right. Multiple milliseconds. It's a quick way to make someone look really bad. Even the hottest person will look bad if you take a really high shutter speed.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All these close-ups of Colton and with the licking of the lips and stuff. I mean, there's no way to make that look good.
Yeah, I think that's why I think it's bad producing or editing or whatever, because I agree. It's not flattering. Well, I also think when you dissociate certain parts of the body, they look bad. Whereas when you see them in context... They look good, and that's no one's fault.
Right, but that's still awkward. Chris, have you ever noticed how you're supposed to eat off of fork or spoon on TV?
This really bothers me. Yes. They put the whole fork in their mouth, close their mouth around the top of the fork, and then scoop it out. Like, that's not how anyone eats anything. Is that what you're talking about?
Kind of. I think we're on the same page. It's just, let's say you're doing a cooking show, or you're on the Good Morning America, and there's like a cook there, and you're eating there, you know, oh, this is so good, this cake. So you have a piece of cake on your fork. You put the cake in your mouth, and then while keeping your lips open, you close the teeth down onto the fork, and then you pull the fork out through your teeth. So your lips are still open. It's your teeth that are closed. Noise. That's how you make eating look good on TV, though.
That hurts. Thinking about
it helps too if you put your free hand underneath your chin, like you're catching crumbs that aren't actually there. That also makes eating look sexy.
Yeah, well, that's daytime TV. Nighttime TV, they put their whole lip on the fork, bottom and top,
it's because it's lit different.
Completely
single camera.
Shut off the fork's breathing, and then. Scrape the fork off the back of the lip out. It's so gross.
Now, Chris, is this what they teach you at the USC film school?
You know, it's funny. We never learned about this, but that's probably because I was a hopeless case. I eat with my hands, even non-finger food. So they probably just skipped that lesson for me.
Maybe over in the journalism school.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah, that seems more like it.
since we're watching the eating scene where they're eating their burgers, I want to also make clear that I have no problem with eating bugs. That's not even what was gross about the episode. Them eating those hamburgers was way grosser. They all ate it with their mouths open. And I like, bugs are fine. Bugs are, I think that's a great message for people.
This is the first week that I wrote down any sort of notes at all going into this episode to try to be a little more like you. I only put 5 bullet points, but one of the things I put was they dared to disrespect Joe, who's the Thai guy, by eating burgers in front of him and expecting him to laugh. So I was with you. He did. He laughed. He was so polite in all of these things, but I did think that was a cute little outing that they had, but it was really awkwardly staged when they came back and were eating the burgers in front of him and Colton praised them for their burger.
It was super rude on that level, although he didn't take it that way, but yeah, it was rude.
No, but yeah.
Speaking of the group date, the same podcast, the Bachelor Party corporate podcast on the Ringer Network, they were talking about how the days of winning a group date meaning anything are over.
Yeah.
Like, you used to win and then something would happen. Now you just get a trophy or a rose and that's it.
That's not, that's true with Cole. You're saying something else would happen, but
You used to go out to dinner. The winner would go out to dinner and have the whole night.
It used to mean he was extra interested in you, but Colton only gives those out to people he feels sorry for. So, this is like a bad example.
Well, Hannah B. said, I love you, and she got the rose on the group date.
Yeah.
Yeah, worst well, I love you, I think, in the history of the Bachelor franchise.
It was like, I love you. Oh, I'm sorry, I have the rose.
Talk about someone who doesn't look good sweating. Hannah B. Because she compensates by putting on way more makeup. And we see her from the side, and it's just not coming together well.
That's kind of what I was thinking about when we were talking about the grossness thing. So it's all part of our gross...
Gross. They need a drop for that.
Today's all about gross. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gross Point Blank. I don't even know what that movie's about. But...
You never seen Gross Point Blank? I thought you talking about the Sandler movies of the 90s would be right in your wheelhouse, Greg.
I can't even tell you the first thing about it. I don't even have any idea.
So one with John Cusack going to like his 10th high school reunion, and he's a hitman and he falls in love with Minnie Driver.
Yeah, Minnie Driver. That's all I remember. I remember the poster very well.
Speaking of John Cusack, it's based on something you said offhand, Chris, a few episodes ago on our unofficial sponsor, Hulu. And this is not Hulu's fault, but I've been trying to get through The Grifters.
I don't know that. What's The Grifters?
It's with John Cusack and a young, the actress who was in the American President.
Annette Bening?
Yeah, it's so bad. But it's one of these Best Director Academy Award because at some points during the film, they break the screen into three separate shots happening at the same time.
Yeah.
But I thought I remembered you saying something about The Grifters, which is why I'm suffering through it, Chris.
No, I don't think so. I'm sorry, Craig.
No one recommended it, Craig.
It's so bad. The director's...
Stephen Frears. He's the guy that did like High Fidelity and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. But they do that thing where only David Lynch and Stanley Kubrick can do right, which is that, you know, you put extra space at the beginning of each close-up and extra space at the end to give each line that the characters say more breadth and add suspense. But it's just awful. The pacing is all off and slow and boring. And
now I gotta watch this.
No.
This was a historic day because Craig gave little bit of ground on Lynch.
I wanted to let it go and then see him keep building. So I was giving you the secret 10 miles away eyes. Like, we can keep this going, Chris.
Someday, if we get it right, if we get our hook right, I'd be willing to do a dedicated Bachelor Masters episode of David Lynch.
Oh my goodness. Oh. ECR, were you casting spells over there?
Play the uh-oh drop. Uh-oh. Yeah.
Wait.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Uh-oh. Like I said, if we can get it right, come up with a good angle, and maybe during the hiatus, we could drop a Bachelor Masters to David Lynch.
All right, wow. I'm into it.
I'm proud of you, Craig.
I know, I've come a long way. I've matured so much. Yeah.
Well, watching The Bachelor. I wanted to do a Succession angle because I love that show and I want to see more of it. And I've been trying to get Chris to watch it. Chris, have you seen it?
I'm sorry. I do want to, ECR.
It's on HBO. Succession. It's on HBO. It's basically, I think I've said this already to you guys, but it's the dangerous liaison of our time. It's no one said this, but I hope this will catch on, that it's so good because you hate everybody. And that's one of my prerequisites for any TV watching I do. No, I don't know. It's so good. We'll talk about it later when you guys watch it. Succession is on HBO.
It's based, isn't it? Or loosely or closely based on like the Murdochs or some
kind of
the media stuff going on right now.
Right. It's kind of like Roger Ailes, kind of like Donald Trump. Yeah, it has a lot of hands in a lot of pots, which I like, because then you're not, you come to see that they're all the same. It doesn't matter. You know, like the whole time I was trying to do what you're doing, Chris, and I'm like, is it them? No, it doesn't matter though, because it's just, it really makes you hate them more than you probably already do. Anyway.
Sounds a lot like a David Lynch movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that? I don't know if that was meant to be a burn or if that's.
Yeah, is that a burn?
I don't know. I really have no idea. All right. Back to grossness. Where are we now in our unofficial sponsor, Hulu Playback?
Well, Nick Cole and Onyeka, the shitster, are arguing. And, Nicole's trying to prove her point. And honestly, would she leave an autistic brother, right? Is that what's going on back in Miami?
Yeah.
I think that's what she should bring up, because there's very few times where I'm like, I mean, most of the time I'm thinking, you know, there's blame to go around. But in this case, it's 100% or at least like 95% Onyeka. And 5% Elise.
I think Colton looks worse. EZR, you said in the past that he can't handle tough situations. And that's what I was thinking about when he got up and walked off, was, man, EZR is going to hold on to this moment.
Yeah, and you know, if there is something interesting here, let's put aside the girls for a second, because there is something interesting there too. But we'll get to it. He doesn't want these, you know, he keeps saying things like, I want crazy experience with someone, and I want, you know, to find someone's real self. He doesn't really want those things. What does he say all the time? Like when he's with someone on, you know, at a marketplace in Thailand, I want someone who'll do this with me or something. Mm-hmm. He has had the money and the means and everything to leave the country anytime he wants, and he never has. And if these are supposed to be symbolic of marriage, that's not true either. He's not ever willing to look at a layered real life situation. Tayshia came in and unraveled that in 2 seconds because she was there, but also she approached it correctly. And I don't think Colton could have done that, even if he had that information.
That's true, though. Tayshia's strategy at the end, it seems like she flips her position a little bit in a way I thought was interesting. I don't know if she is a puppet master, but she says at the end, she basically disavows both of them, Onyeka and Nicole, and says they're both petty and she's one of the people. And I was like, wow, I think Nicole was going down anyway, but Onyeka wasn't necessarily at first until Tayshia gets involved and kind of sticks up for her and creates more of a fight that seems like it's going to take them both down. We don't know yet, but I thought that was pretty smart if that's what she did. She comes in like, oh, I'm making people, like I'm going to stand up for this person that's being bullied here. No. She stabbed her in the back right away later. So she was doing something else.
Tayshia.
Yeah. She's bad-mouthing Nicole at the end of the episode. When Colton's getting upset, she's not still standing up for her, saying, yeah, Nicole should be defending herself against this bully. She's like, I can't, like, I'm just over both of their petty drama. Nicole, she has no loyalty to Nicole.
No. She just wanted to get that argument open, out in the open for everyone to see what it really was about. But then when it kept going, despite it being resolved, and then she was annoyed that it kept going. I don't think she, I didn't think, oh, no, I don't I know, maybe I have to watch it again.
Like,
I didn't think Tayshia was
sore. Like that would have been like a one and done thing for Onyeka if no one had intervened and Nicole's out. She like bust that open and made it what it was.
Tayshia. But I felt like she resolved it. I didn't think she
made it worse. She instigated it. No, she didn't resolve it.
Chris, can you describe the scene and how you think Tayshia is involved?
Yes. The scene is Onyeka and Nicole are beefing.
Yes.
And they're doing it publicly.
Yes.
And this is because the backstory
is... this on the group date? Or is this on the...
No, this is right now on the playback. When
Colton
has to come over and intervene and then doesn't.
We're a little early. Party. It's a little confusing because Craig, in the episode, they sort of have the fight begin, then they cut to the Cassie one-on-one, then they come back to the rest of the fight later. So it's sort of cut in a weird way. And I think they reused footage.
One of them is a group date, and one of them is the cocktail party.
I think they
are cross-cutting things, though, because I do have a note here, too. The Tayshia kiss... they like reuse that footage at the end when they're on the beach also. So I think they did some things with the way they shot and edited this where I don't think it's completely linear in a way that's misleading. the shortest way I could say the way that I saw it was that Nicole and Onyeka fight. Taisha comes in and apparently is standing up for Nicole and says that she heard the same conversation that Onyeka's reporting on with Elise, and that's not the way it was said. That it was much more innocent. Nicole's like, "Thank you." They both have their time with Colton, and then later when they're staging, and I thought the end of this episode, we can get into it later, I guess, is the most ridiculously produced fake kind of fight since the two guys fought in that really fake. Remember, I always forget those guys' names, but the
when they were outside with the lighting.
Joe?
Yeah, so I don't really trust the resolution of the end of this episode anyway, because it felt so fake and staged. But what we're supposed to think is, like, suddenly now Taisha is not standing up for Nicole or Onyeka. Mm-hmm. She's sort of saying, like, yeah, get them out of here, get them both out of here. So it's not sort of the way she presents herself at first, where she's like, yes, Nicole basically should be vocalizing her opinion because she was bullied and this was misrepresented. She's like, she's completely kind of a 180 on her attitude with Nicole.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, while you're collecting your thoughts, I'm just going to throw in something. Go ahead. It's going to be a real letdown when Colton actually does jump over the fence, because it's been so much fun over these five episodes watching scenes where it could end in Colton jumping over the fence. This was a good moment.
I agree.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought it was going
to
happen.
There was no fence. It was on a beach. He wanted to. He would have jumped in that ocean if he would just, you know, unhooked himself from the microphone, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the thing. Someone said that this girl wanted to leave, basically said that this girl wanted to leave her autistic brother that she obviously has a hand in taking care of behind, and she didn't bring it up. And that must be what hurts her, but she doesn't bring it up.
Right.
And Onyeka, I feel, is doing it because, and she not only did it, but then she doubled down on it because she's immature. She is a bully. And I think deep down, she has issues of not fitting in. And it's jealousy, but it's not woman jealousy. It's just regular old jealousy of just other people and just trying to bring people down. So in that way, they're both interesting characters. Nicole, for not doing, for arguing about the layers on top of layers instead of arguing about the deeper issues. And Onyeka for being a, you know, a disrespectful, immature person, bully, really. So those two women are definitely getting cut. So who cares, right? Whatever. Colton, now here's an interesting thing, is that he keeps saying this thing that we haven't brought up yet, but it really bothers me. How could he possibly pride himself on trusting his gut when 3 out of the 5 weeks we've seen him, he's been totally confused and wrong and dumb?
Right.
Right?
Right.
And how does he keep thinking that or saying that? He's so off every time. He can't deal with it. And if he can, he doesn't understand the situation because someone's, giving it to him softly. Like, no one's ever telling him, Colton, man up, you know, deal with it, whatever people have to say to get him to deal with stuff, but he doesn't. That's where it's interesting.
How does Taisha get into this?
So Taisha heard the actual conversation that Onyeka had with Elise,
right?
And said, she said to Onyeka, you are wrong. That is not what Elise said. And I don't know why you would say that to Colton instead of saying it to Nicole. And then that's it. She's saying, Onyeka, you're wrong. And Onyeka, instead of saying, oh, I guess I'm wrong, doubled down. So in my eyes, I think Taisha was like, let's forget this because you were wrong. And she didn't mean it. This is what she's saying to Nicole. She didn't mean it. Onyeka, you're wrong. And then that's it. But then it keeps going, right?
Because science fiction shows are supposed to be this confusing, not reality dating shows.
Well,
I would say the key distinction, though, is she said it publicly. She said it while they're arguing in a group of people with cameras, with the moment that it sort of becomes the moral justification for Nicole to keep fighting. Had she not said it, Nicole would have been out right there. So Taisha kind of gives the argument life. Yeah. Because Onyeka has all of the public support in the group. Like, she's saying this thing like, look, you are basically, Craig, we strip away all the complications. The Bachelor cliche behind all of this is Onyeka wants to say, you're here for the wrong reasons. And right. Everyone's kind of like, the social energy around her is, we're applauding for you because that's a good thing to do on The Bachelor. Nicole, as everyone points out throughout the episode, cries and is seen as weak all the time, has no strength. Taisha comes in and gives her that social strength. So it's like she's about to be crushed, but Taisha won't let that happen and comes in and says, nope, she's actually here for the right reasons. And not only that, but Onyeka is, whatever they say in The Bachelor, gossip and liar. And suddenly the fight's alive and stronger than ever. And now the social energy is like, Nicole, you got to fight for yourself. You can't let someone spread gossip about you. And it becomes a fight that didn't need to happen. Nicole just should have left.
Chris, I read that so differently. Only because I feel like Taisha was trying to stop the conversation. Say, that's it. You're wrong. You, Nicole, stop arguing about other things if this is what the lie she said about you. And then, you know, Onyeka,
I guess we do read it differently. Because if she was going to do that, she could have done that. She could have separated them or not done it so publicly.
Well, no, I think the public thing is what makes it true. Because if it wasn't true, you wouldn't say it publicly. If it wasn't true, you'd take one person in the corner and say another thing.
Not necessarily, because there's no way to verify, because Elise is gone. Elise is the missing piece of this puzzle, so they can say what they want, and they both try to. So,
but okay, the Onyeka, no matter what, the second half of that argument, whether it was a different day or later in that day, she does call Nicole crazy and a psycho. And then Nicole says, you called me mentally unstable. And Onyeka says, no, I didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that time that was Colton's fault, which I did think was funny. This game of when you do get this petty in fights, it is funny how the smallest change of words, because she said emotionally unstable and Colton misreported that as mentally unstable.
Right.
Oh, okay. So,
which apparently is a big difference.
Yeah,
I love how he sits there and does the absolute wrong thing. He is going to be the world's most like absent-minded dad. He goes, no, I want to hear you guys keep arguing.
I'm just going to sit here. You guys argue without me. Like, I'm not here.
You think that was like, the worst produced? Like, I was thinking, first of all, we've talked about this before, so at the risk of repeating ourselves, Craig, you can cut me off. But they would never stage something so that you could hear a conversation like that so close. Like, the way they edit it, it's like, oh, they're arguing this much that he can hear over where he is. No, they wouldn't have production like that unless you were deliberately coached or coaxed to do something like that. So I thought that's a ridiculous setup. Secondly, when you have him come up and sit down, that's where I knew this fight, they don't consider this fight to be as extreme as the producers want it to be on the show, because there's no way they would have talked while he was sitting there like that. It just all felt like the most fake thing, where I was eventually, that's where I checked out. And maybe this is what you're getting at too, Craig, where I was like, they don't expect us to think this is real because they're staging this thing that could never happen in reality production. And it's the most stupid fight.
I totally thought his instinct, let's just say that everything you're saying is true, except this one part for me, is that his instinct would be to go there and sit down and try to figure this out, because he's just going to listen to them fight. That I think that's a Colton way of doing things, only because he's so emotionally aloof. Yeah. To do that's like, what, you know, the wrong thing they teach you to do in teacher school. You know, the what can you do when people are fighting? Oh, just try to figure it out. Listen,
we're kind of talking about two separate things here. These are you're spot on with your Colton analysis. Semicolon. the issue with the three women that you and Chris have so eloquently described for the last 20 minutes is its own thing, right? That's kind of independent of Colton going off and walking on the beach.
I'm just trying to get my head around this here.
I guess I would say they're linked, though, Craig. They might also be separate, but because they link the drama of that fight to whatever Colton's going through, and because that looks so obviously produced and staged, it sort of made me... It made me think that that was the uninspired, produced narrative thread of this episode that we seem to get on these things, where they're like, well, we're not really moving these stories forward. We need something.
Right, right.
That's what this felt like at the end.
To yeah, me. Yeah, yeah. The whole thing was too well lit to be like off the cuff and spontaneous.
And I mean, the way the Bachelor franchise is set up especially, it's like the Bachelor is like your boss when you're on this show, more than like a dating show. And if your boss comes up and sits down while you're having a fight like that at work, they were not at the energy where I really believed, oh, they're so blind with rage that they wouldn't notice that he's... They would shut up and like look at him like... And because of that, and it just looks like... They kind of go into like beta mode of their performance where they're just saying the same things. It felt so fake to me. I was like, they don't care what they're fighting about. They're being told to keep talking so they can set the scene and have Colton walk away.
I agree. They were baited into keeping the keeping their fight going, but it did feel like a real argument to me as a girl. I've been in those layered arguments where it's not about what it's about anymore.
Because it seems like most things in these from what I understand in these reality shows, it's like I'm sure the seeds of those were real, right. But it's like when you hit a lull in the argument, the producers are like, okay, so can you go back to talking about, you know, it's sort of like they probably started arguing about something like that, but I don't think that that's the manner organically you would keep arguing about it. You know, it's sort of like I'm sure they were kind of told how to keep arguing.
So, EZR, who's the bad guy and who's the good guy?
Between those two girls?
Between the three women, yeah.
Oh, I think, okay, yeah. I think Tayshia's the good guy. I think Nicole is more or less the victim. And I think Onyeka is the instigator girl who is, like I said, I think her issue isn't really with Nicole. But it's about her deep-seated issues and her deep-seated insecurities.
But they're all getting cut anyway.
Yeah, they're all getting cut.
Okay.
Doesn't matter.
Well, speaking of not being cut, and I'm forcefully moving our podcast on to the next topic. Sorry, Chris and EZR, but 20 minutes is a lot.
But hey, we didn't talk as much about that as the episode did. So just if we're doing time for time on the Hulu playback, we're still below that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep talking about
it. No, wait. I'm glad you were moving on because if we're going to talk about how
Cassie.
The producers...
I was going to talk about Cassie.
Right. That's exactly what I want to talk about. If the producers are filling this up with a lot of, girl drama, then he himself is saving the people he actually likes.
Yes.
Vis-a-vis Hannah and
Cassie. I agree with that.
He never sees them. He doesn't care. He's putting them on the back burner because he's trying to make sure there's content. But those are the last two, right?
Well, I'll leave this for another podcast another time, but I am reading the Bachelor Nation book.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It's actually really good.
I had him.
At the end of the day, it sounds like the Bachelor really is in control of who they pick and not pick.
Yeah, they have to be because they end up together sometimes for reals in real life.
Wait. Are you saying on a week by week every?
Yeah, it's not. I mean, the producers have their say, obviously, but it sounds like that's more at the beginning. Really, it's up. They don't interfere much with. The book says, quoting somebody, a producer or something, that they discuss it and they'll offer their opinions, of course. But it's really the Bachelor and Bachelorette's call.
I totally believe that, except for the whole, there's some people that you know are just advanced for whatever reason.
Yeah.
If there's space.
Yeah, for sure.
There's room for them.
And I guess you can say that while you control the machinery, so you can say, yes, they're making free choices, but
the means of production, Chris.
Exactly. Yes.
Take us home with Cassie, EZR.
Me?
I have something to say. I'll go first. Who doesn't want to go to that island? Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
I want to go.
All I needed was like a little palm tree with one coconut on it That's why they have that already set up.
If you go to like Dubai or Qatar or whatever, you can get an island that when you zoom out will be part of like a giant constellation of man-made islands that like look like the world or something. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
When they have all this oil money to spend, they make all these man-made islands, but they do it in the shape of something. So there's one that is shaped like a world map. There's another that's like a big tree, so on and so forth.
Oh.
But this looked like a natural tiny island.
Yeah, where he could get it on with Cassie. That's how this one was produced, was like, we want to show, is Colton so virginal? He's going to get his hands all over her. He's really making out with her. He jumps into bed with her.
Well, of all of the places on our small blue dot planet that you can go, that little island is literally the only place where there's absolutely nothing to do except make out.
Yeah, it was funny how barren it looked.
I mean, unless you dig and you find fiber optic hub or something and you can plug into.
Why didn't they put the stupid palm tree with the coconut on it? That's what production is for. They always set up bed in the middle of an oasis in the, you know, a 100-mile
right. Where's the
desert,
hot tub?
And they. Yeah, why don't they put a hot tub?
Personally, I mean, aside from the show, if I were to go to that island, I would want it just like it is. Nothing at all. 5 square meters in size. It was great. I could relax.
Craig,
not have a care in the world.
I want it to look like my drawing that I always draw whenever
with the
a kid tells
with the
me to draw
tree.
Something. Yes, that's all. That's all.
When I was in art school, I made a giant palm tree out of wood and then like
palm
a cartoon palm tree. Mm-hmm. And... And then I made a sun, and it was all. I basically recreated a kid's drawing of what you're describing—a palm tree with the sun and the beach and stuff. No one understood what I was trying to do with it, but I thought it was pretty clever.
I like that.
I'll see if I can find a picture.
Where did they hop into bed together? It wasn't on the island, was it?
Nope.
Back.
It was just
at the
later.
Homestead. Oh. Yeah, they're like fully clothed. He could at least unbutton his shirt when he went to bed.
There was a lot. Yeah, there was a lot wrong with this episode. They kind of cut things in and out. They never showed them going to a hotel or wherever they ended up or having dinner. I feel like I'm losing my mind. But
I know
it's just
it confused
show trying
me
to mess
also.
With me.
Yeah, it was a very uncomfortable bed scene. It was the opposite of the Hannah G bed scene that we saw last week.
Yeah, the one about making the bed after
making
you make out.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
It was another middle school flashback.
Yeah,
where you're just
it
hanging out
was.
In bed and
yeah,
everyone
all
is very respectful.
Yeah,
but not
that's,
because
that's
you're too young.
Spot on. Yeah.
Well, they did. Cassie's angle was to play that she is ashamed of not being a virgin.
Yeah, that was an interesting conversation they had, that she's from a her family circle that would freak out that she's not a virgin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where's she from? Is she from Alaska?
She's from Huntington Beach.
Oh. Okay. Isn't the super evangelical church capital of the world in Orange County, basically? Isn't that where the Crystal Cathedral
is? The Crystal Cathedral?
Yeah.
I don't think she's religious. I just think they're just hypocrites that she's talking about. You know, I don't think there's any, I don't know. You guys like, know I grew up there.
Well, I can't imagine you know, we're all bleeding heart liberal commies out here in California. Why would her circle in Huntington Beach care if she was a virgin or not?
It's a stupid, it's all, you know, an outdated girl thing. It has nothing I don't think she's even saying anything like that she's a religious family or anything like that. I think it's just outdated. I mean, it's fine. I think she just said that.
And like she's an adult kind of thing and she's making a bigger deal out of it than what her circle thinks. Is that what you mean when you're saying it's fine, ECR? That it's like you're sure they don't care?
I am saying that, but I'm also, I think what she's actually saying is that even though everyone knows, you shouldn't say it. Right? That's a woman, parents to a young woman. Everyone knows you're a virgin, but you should never talk about it. And that's true in society right now.
quick side note on that. ECR, did you continue to watch Love Island, the British Love Island?
I finished the last, the season that they did this summer. Yeah.
Okay. Because I find that to be a hilarious counterpoint to this, where they always have an episode at the end of Love Island where the parents visit. And this is a show where cameras are literally on people all the time, and they capture them having sex a lot. And they always talk with their parents. They're some of the funniest, but kind of cutest conversations. They're asking, like, did grandma and you see me having sex on the TV? And it's always kind of a nice... I actually always think they're kind of some of the best moments. So that is a counterpoint to what we see here.
It's totally, you know, a European attitude versus our attitude about American attitude.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
In movies, in European movies, I remember watching them when I was little and my younger, you know, high school or whatever. And my friends be like, oh my God, I can't believe that's not true, because you would never wake up with your girlfriend and your parents knew. Mm-hmm. The movie that comes to my mind immediately is Trainspotting. There's the scene of the morning after.
Yeah, where all she's in grade school.
Youngish kids. Yeah. Wake up. And all my friends are like, that is so not true. That this is why this movie is BS or whatever. My mom is European. And she was very much like that. She was always very open with sexual things. And my friends could not believe it. So I can attest that it's American versus European attitudes.
EZR, speaking of Huntington Beach, I had an idea. Yes. What if we shoot a Bachelor Masters YouTube video where we do a hometown visit to your hometown?
I hate my hometown, but well,
That'd be great. It'd be super ironic. We could go by your high school.
Oh my God.
We can sit at a coffee shop and fake somebody, one of your, you know, friends from back in the day coming by and saying hi.
All my friends died. I'm really serious.
We'll just pull someone off the street. Hey, pretend you know EZR for 5 minutes. Bachelor Masters hometowns.
Let's pick someone else's hometown. Like, I want to go to Rochester, New York.
Next time we're in Rochester, we'll do that.
Okay. Well, that, just for having you both there, would be worth it. But Huntington Beach is a little more accessible, ECR, and you've got some thoughts about it. So
let's go to the Winchester House.
that's my hometown.
That would be awesome. Oh, that's right. Craig.
Yes, Stevens Creek Boulevard, right down the street.
And we could post the YouTube video link in the comments to the trailer for that Winchester movie. That would be cool.
We could do my hometown of Sunnyvale. We could go to my high school. We could play some basketball with the kiddies, and then we could go to the Winchester Mystery House as like our big date. That'd be fun.
Yeah, I like dates. All right. As an 11-year-old, I was hopping on the bus coming to Los Angeles. And because it was at, 40 minutes.
From Orange County. That's a little different than me hopping on the bus and coming to Los Angeles.
The reason I said is because that's how much I wasn't interested in where I'm
You weren't interested in beautiful beaches and weather and surf and...
It's the same weather, basically.
I would hop on the bus and go to Santa Cruz. You would hop in the bus and leave the beach. I would go to the beach, it sounds like.
Yeah. Well, okay. It was a fun... To me, what's more fun than creepy... Los Angeles in the late 90s.
Nothing.
That's fun. No. Right. Yeah, Hollywood. You got the scummy Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Love it. I love LA. Okay. If we had the drop, we would play Randy Newman, I Love LA, right now as our way out. But we don't.
Dodgers.
I can do it in post. All right, you guys. Thanks, listeners. If you've made it this far, thank you for sticking in there. And we'll catch you next week. We have a special treat for our next episode, which unveil.
So exciting. Don't tell anybody. I want to say it so bad.
We'll keep it a secret. Bachelor Master secret.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Bye. See ya.
Bye.